You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
It's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No!
Do you know what I'm talking about? Matrix. Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us.
Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you.
Say hello to my new friend.
No, I'm getting this, Marcus. Step off.
That jacket is $1,800. No refunds.
What you think I can't pay for?
Well, there is no layaway plan.
You're a sucker, man. Don't even trip on that.
Racial.
Yeah, you're right, man. Don't even trip on
that. Wait, no refund? I mean, what's he think? You're going to take the jacket, wear it, stank it all up to be damned, and then, like, give it back to him?
We can't get over this.
That's the same thing with people.
The natural fear of black people, this program, you know, like, watch.
See how frightened you are?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. This is Geeked Out with Michael Dean, and today I am joined by none other than Mr. Sean Hill. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Ready to get it on with my podcasting brothers.
All right. And last but certainly not least, rounding us out today, Mr. Aunt Pooh. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I see what y'all be saying about me on Twitter. Cut it out.
What's that about? I don't.
No. I'm just playing around. Trying to build up some followers. Come on.
There you go. All right.
Don't you realize starting to beef gets you followers?
I see. Well, also, I think, and I'll throw this out here. What do you guys make of this ice bucket challenge thing?
Oh, my dear Lord.
Are you
Lord
sick of that
Kevin?
Yet?
If I see, I'm seriously considering unfriending folks. You know, I'm just tired. It's killing my data plan. I had to change my Facebook settings when I'm at work because all these videos. You know, it's for a good cause, and I honestly wish I knew how pouring a bucket of ice over your head is good for charity. But I'm tired of it. It's time to move on. I challenge people to read. How's that?
Oh, come on, man.
I will say this. It is one of the things. It has caught on, like, so fast and so strong. It's like everybody's doing this thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I'm challenging one to send me $20. There we go.
I'm okay with it. It's kind of becoming a little bit attention-whoring, in my opinion. But, again, I'm okay with it. If people are actually donating, I'm fine with it. I guess we'll get into it with "This is what we do," but it's amazing, and I won't go on my rant, but it's just amazing the number of people that will, you know, use their social media for this, but they won't use it for other things. But we'll get into that later.
Okay, yeah, we'll save that one. I was saying this is I had wrote this down, but this is not gonna come off right. It's just a joke, but I want to see the ice bucket bukkake challenge. Anyway, that was terrible.
Ooh,
moving right along. So,
can I say this about the one last thing about the ice bucket? Here in California, we're having a drought. We got a water shortage, and I know they had actually announced like a week or two ago that they were actually going to fine people for wasting water doing the ice bucket challenge.
Oh, Lord.
But they have since changed their stance on that. But I just thought that the beautiful state that I live in is definitely missed the mark on that one completely. But
wow, that's extreme.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into this. Is some Geeked Out. First, I want to start off. I watched a little movie last night. I've seen this movie hundreds, maybe thousands of times, but for whatever reason, I popped it in. I watched Return of the Jedi last night. And just, you know, I hadn't seen it in a while. I'm just sitting there watching. I kind of skipped the first part with the Jabba part. Because it seemed like I always watched that part and then I never finished the movie. So I skipped that and watched the rest. That's probably the weakest of the original three. But as a kid, I loved that movie. And, of course, I'm watching the special edition version. which has a lot of horrible additions to the movie. The most terrible one is the ending with the Ewoks. You know, they changed the song.
Song, yes.
And that song is so, like, watered down, new age crap. It just totally takes away the whole point. And then they throw in Hayden Christensen at the end. I knew that was going to happen. I've seen it before. It never bothered me. But now it just really bothered me. This is really horrible. Why would you do that? But
It makes sense, but I agree with you that it should have been done.
It actually doesn't make sense. Because if he was going to, why would he revert back to the younger version of him?
My theory, and this is, I guess, Lucas's theory too, is that's when he actually died, when he became Darth Vader. Anakin, as we knew him then, that was why. Not the older guy, but the younger guy. So that was the reason.
That can make sense, but I would argue that he actually did die as Anakin when he took the mask off.
And I was about to make that point.
And he was like, you know, it's like when the last words he said to him, "Tell your sister if she was right." Like, I was like, okay, he's redeemed him. He's back to Anakin, and he didn't have the mask off, which would. Yeah, show him as they used to show him. But yeah, but you did make a great point. But it bothers me to see him on there.
Trust me, I don't like it either.
Thing I can get is that George Lucas must have had this crazy idea that, well, for a new generation of people, Anakin Skywalker is Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Thus, if there's a Anakin Skywalker at the end of Return of the Jedi, it must be Hayden Christensen, not some old dude that for a new generation have never seen before.
Yeah, I can understand that. Horrible.
But then you can argue, how did he gain weight in the suit? Mm-hmm. and get older in the suit? That doesn't really make. If he's dead, then of course, he wouldn't grow and grow old and grow fatter.
He was dead in terms of what? What's the word I'm looking for? Spiritually or mentally? Necessarily. But you know, I say all that to say though, it's a good movie. It's just funny that movie seems to be almost played by the numbers, almost a little bit.
It has to though. No, I was just saying that it has to, because it has to end. So it's unlike Empire, things, you know, can be left open. Everything has had to be resolved in that. And like the first half hour, I usually skip that part too, the whole Tatooine sequence. I thought they wrapped that up that was just too neat, too easy. I was expecting it to last, that sequence to last like the whole movie. Like they're looking for Han, you know, the whole movie, and, you know, it's what, 20 minutes, if that?
Yeah.
But out of all the changes they made, honestly, and you hit on it for me, the one that I find the most horrible is the removal of the Ewok song. And I don't even like the Ewoks, but I like that song.
Jump, jump, I'm geeked on that.
I would love the explanation behind that. Like, are you kidding me? The only thing I can plausibly come up with is that he went to message board where they say that the Ewoks were the worst part of the Star Wars original trilogy, so he felt he had to remove their song for some reason.
Well, I think he did it because of he changed it, you know, to the whole global celebration thing. So it wouldn't really make sense to still have the Ewok song playing over the other planets that they were showing at the end.
Yeah.
See, I got a little geek in me.
And then the song they change in Jabba's, well, they put that whole thing in Jabba's pound. That is like gut wrenchingly bad. Like, I don't understand.
I don't get that either. I really don't.
It's like, yeah, let's change the, let's put a dance number in there, and you know, it's just gonna liven this thing up. Like, what was I gonna say?
You bring it back memories for me, right? That is the first movie that I stood in line like hours to see. was a turn. I saw it opening night, first showing, the 7-10 showing. I was like the fifth or sixth person in line to get into, because you know we had to see it, and I didn't, even back then I didn't want anybody to tell me what happened. I wanted to be the one to tell other people what happened.
That was before spoilers.
Yeah, that was before Twitter and you know social media and all that.
Yeah, the other thing too was I noticed when I look at the Ewok sequence at, you know, indoor when they're fighting the stormtroopers, that's Jar Jar Binks all the way. Like I was all the little stuff that they're doing now, I look at it, I'm like, man, I can't really go that hard on Jar Jar in terms of like when he just sort of accidentally does stuff. Like that's all they were doing. Like this shit was implanted in this way back then, and it was probably terrible then, but I was like, I can see, you know, what his thought process was. I don't necessarily agree with it, but yeah, that movie is I really just like the Luke, Darth Vader, Emperor stuff. Right. And then it sort of also, this movie does come to a halt a little bit when he goes to Dagobah. And it's just, you know, here, let me explain the story to you, young one. You just got to come.
Exposition there. Time.
Yeah, that was like super exposition time. It's like, damn. But they had to get it out of the way, I guess. Yeah.
Now, why would the Empire, the Emperor, why would they commission a new Death Star with the same fatal flaw as the original Death Star?
Yeah, it doesn't make... There's a lot of things in that movie when I watched it. There's a lot of parts where they just have Luke being escorted away with stormtroopers or something. I'm like, this is a freaking Jedi. Like, he could quickly take these cats down and wreak havoc. Like, why are they just letting him go by himself with these people? Darth Vader just walks away. I was kind of like, damn, Luke is a badass. But I'm overanalyzing this movie to death. But I bring it up to say real quickly, now there's another rumor that just hit the net that the Emperor Palpatine is going to be returning for the new movies. And looking at the picture that I think we talked about last week when we talked about the rumors, there was a picture of a guy in a cloak and he's kind of like a cyborg and he's like holding or looking at the Darth Vader helmet that's kind of broken. Now I'm wondering if that is actually somehow Palpatine, or is he in a robot or whatever. But it seems to be, and not, again, it's not confirmed, but the rumor is that somehow Palpatine is back in these new movies. Any thoughts, fellas?
But I thought that was from the books, though, as well, that they resurrected Vader and Palpatine. Or maybe it was just Vader.
Well, in the books, I think it was Dark Empire. Palpatine was cloned. So that did happen in the comics, it was. Excuse me.
Okay. Well, I don't have much of a problem with it if they write him better. Because those first trilogy, yes, he was a decent schemer, but Revenge of the Sith, he was just over the top comical. The power, infinite power. I'm like, oh Lord, this is definitely the number of times he was coming while he was talking, it was just like, good Lord, you know what I'm talking about.
Go ahead,
now,
Sean.
I don't know, you know, what life form Yoda is, but is there like, and may have to help me with the Jedi-isms, but is there something in being a Jedi and embodying that spirit that would allow you to like live for, well, I guess Yoda didn't live forever, but live longer than the average human, so there wouldn't be a need to quote unquote resurrect Palpatine or Darth.
Well, I don't know about that. I know some species. Somebody's got a lot of air going on in the background there. But I know that some species live longer in that Marvel Universe. The guy who was Darth Plagueis, who was the master for Darth Sidious or Palpatine, he had lived for a very long time. But that was not because he was a Dark Jedi. It was because of the race. He was I think it was called a Mun, if I'm saying it right. I guess the argument could be is, did Palpatine actually die when he was thrown down that thing, right? Maybe he didn't actually. That's you know, we didn't actually see his body. One would argue when Luke was thrown down, sort of a similar sort of thing. Obviously, he didn't die, right?
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, if there's that, what? But there was an explosion. But I mean, he is one of the most powerful practitioners of the Force, so it's possible. And yeah, see, I'll be fine with that if they, because they said the Empire was defeated, but they never said the Emperor is dead. So I would be fine if they show that he didn't die, not that he's been cloned or resurrected.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, they sort of put a precedent that the Emperor obviously has this technology where he could bring a person like Anakin back, or you know, repair his body and mechanical. So maybe he was been doing all this research in case he someday needed that type of surgery as well. Possibly, you never know. So there you go. Does somebody have a fan on or something?
I do, but there's, you shouldn't be able to hear that. But I'll go turn it off. Hang on.
All right. So keep moving. What else we got on deck here? Let me go to the net. This is some stuff that Ampu is doing the producer role this term, so we're going to give him some praise.
Yeah, I'm putting that on the resume.
Yes, sir. All right, so first I wanted to get into The Rock. And we had talked about this a couple weeks ago, possibility of a Shazam Captain Marvel movie. Now, The Rock, I believe, has come forward and said, yes, I'm going to be in the Shazam movie, but there hasn't been a decision if he's going to play Captain Marvel, Shazam, or if he's going to be Black Adam, which would be the villain role. So, Ampu, what's your thoughts on this?
There is only one choice for this. He plays Captain Marvel. And to quote our brother in podcasting, Big Sexy, there it is. I said it. It's Captain Marvel, not Shazam. Fuck you, Marvel.
You really think they have him called Captain Marvel, though?
Well, I'm not sure what the legalities of it is. I know Fawcett, who produced the Captain Marvel comic books, owned a trademark to produce the comic book with that title. And I guess when DC smacked them down and got the title canceled, they didn't bother to... Marvel trademarked Captain Marvel. So that's preventing them from doing a comic book called Captain Marvel. My issue is that does that go over into television and movies? I'm not sure of that, but and I was thinking about this as I was writing up these notes. And well, even if they don't call the movie Captain Marvel, they can still call the character Captain Marvel. Maybe they can call the movie Power of Shazam. So the first movie could be Power of Shazam. The second movie could be Return of Black Adam, and they can still call him Captain Marvel, similar to how there's been 22 James Bond films. But not one of the titles has been James Bond. But we all know the character is James Bond.
Yeah. I just think that I couldn't see them wanting to use anything that would bring up Marvel or at least make you think of Marvel. Like I would be surprised if they call him Captain Marvel. First, I think the name is... I guess all the DC character names are kind of funny, but... Yeah, I don't know. I would personally rather see him play Black Adam. That's myself. But and it brings the question, who would play the lead hero role if it's not going to be The Rock? Because then that would mean Captain Marvel is not going to die. If you got a guy like him playing it.
You mean Black Adam?
Black Adam, excuse me.
So yeah, I've seen over the years that he's shown interest in playing Black Adam, which to me, I don't know what... It's a meaty character. But if you have intentions on being having longevity in Hollywood, you would want to be the star of a $500 million franchise.
Yeah.
So yeah, you should want to do Captain Marvel.
Well, I'm in complete disagreement with you, Ant. I think he's got three franchises already. Scorpion King. I don't know if they're making another one of those. Hercules, and there's another one. Fast. I think he would be better suited, I think, to play a villain. I don't know if this villain, but I think people may be tired of seeing him in the heroic situation and may want to see him, you know, stretch out, branch out, and play someone bad. I also think that, too, you need, I think with these characters, you need an unknown to really sell it. I mean, you see him as Captain Marvel, you're always going to see The Rock. You're not going to see the character. You're just going to see him in this costume. So go the unknown route, put him as the villain, let him have some fun, and I think it'll be a much better color for him.
That is a good point. And if any of our listeners are wrestling fans, they'll know that this is the truth. I'm about to say that The Rock is a better bad guy than he is a good guy. He's so smug and arrogant. He just he exudes so much charisma and personality as what we call a heel that he might really just come into his own as Black Adam. You never know. They might take the Storm Shadow route where the second movie he becomes the good guy.
That was a basic question too. Like, who would you see as Captain Marvel? If not The Rock, like, who do you
if
think?
If I was DC, and you know, this is my joke pick, I would pick Chris Hemsworth. You know, hopefully shave him up, get some dye that hair, and try to fool some of the Liam Hemsworth fans. Just saying.
And who would play the little boy?
Oh yeah, we didn't think about that.
You already know my pick last time. I said it would have been.
he can't go. Well, that would be bold to go from black to white.
Yeah, well, now I wouldn't. I wouldn't pick that now. I don't know who they would pick now.
Oh, you know, actually, you know who might be good. If you watch Parenthood, the kid that plays Max, the kid with Asperger's.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
He's really if you see a compilation of his scenes, he's really good. He plays. This kid that has this neurotic, he's very selfish, he's very self-absorbed. He plays that character really, really good. It's a shame he doesn't get nominated for an Emmy because he acts his ass off. And I think he can pull it off. And plus, he's pretty small, all-American white boy. He can pull that off as Billy Batson. He was in The Purge, the dumb kid that let the
Okay.
But if you see him on Parenthood, he can act.
Because he definitely didn't show it in The Purge.
He played stupid.
Yeah. All right. Any picks from you, Sean?
I will plead ignorance. I'm unfamiliar with the character, so okay. I no. Wait and see.
Didn't there used to be a Shazam TV show or something back in the days? I thought this one was live action, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a horrible show from the 70s.
Yeah, I know there was a cartoon. I think I used to watch that, but Lord knows if I remember.
That's really how I know a lot about that. Well, I know a lot about it, but what I remember about that characters from that TV show. It was a TV series. I'm looking at it now. It was live action. Yeah. Starring Michael Gray. That really.
Where is he now?
Yeah. Half-hour live-action show. It was a show ran from 1974 to 1977 on CBS.
Oh, I do remember that show.
And it was also paired with ISIS. If you
remember. ISIS, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I do remember that. Oh, the mighty ISIS.
Yep.
Yeah, wow.
So they were doing superhero stuff back then.
They weren't doing it well, though. But then again, well, that's DC.
Well, that was as good as you could have gotten it back then.
I mean, it's 1974. Give him a break, Ant.
Yeah, that's true, because that Spider-Man television show was horrible, too.
Oh, man, that was the shit to me, though, when I was a kid. Couldn't tell me nothing.
Yeah.
On the walls. Wow, that's what you think about it. There was a lot of superhero stuff on TV back in the day. You had Captain America, the Hulk. Yeah. Spider-Man, Batman was obviously very popular. Now just here we are. It's a resurgence. Now it's in the movies. Now it's coming back to TV stronger. We got The Flash, Green Arrow. We've already had Smallville, Gotham. I keep seeing bad reviews for the Gotham first episode.
Well, I wish it was on CW, because you know that the WB would make sure to get it right. But since it's on Fox, I don't. They may give it 6 to 12 episodes, because you know sometimes you need that time to get your voice and get your footing with the characters and the story and plotting, which is why even though Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started off bad, it finally got its voice because Disney wasn't going to cancel that show.
Oh no!
Anything but keeping Marvel front of mind.
Yep. Speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we've got some announcement of a new cast member, a new character coming to the show. I'm going to butcher her name. Adriana Palicki.
Palicki.
I like to say she licky, but she's joining the show, and she'll be playing Mockingbird, which I know the name, but I am not too familiar with the character. Maybe Aunt Pooh can shed some light on that. But the also note is she was also casted to play Wonder Woman in the David E. Kelly TV series that only did the pilot episode. It was canceled. But it's interesting. She's going from DC to Marvel. Aunt Pooh, do you know anything about the Mockingbird character?
And see, this is what I'm talking about. You saw how Marvel was like, yeah, we'll just go ahead and take we'll take an actress that you can make work for your property and put her in our television property. That's why I'm loving Marvel. They're like, screw that, we'll make her work. But yeah, Mockingbird, I'm a little bit familiar with her. I used to read West Coast Avengers, which was one of the other titles that she in the mid-80s. But her claim to fame is she was the ex-wife of Hawkeye, which hopefully that means we'll get a little they might play up on that and give us a backstory on the Clint Barton from the film universe, and maybe we'll get a Hawkeye cameo or two. I don't think Jeremy Renner's not doing that much in Hollywood, right? That he can't appear on the show.
I don't know. Yeah, they can give him a good check. He'll be on there.
It's true. So
I think he's gonna be either taking over or with the Mission Impossible.
Seriously?
Oh, no, I think you're thinking of, was it Bourne? Or you think he's going to take over Mission Impossible?
I think so. I think he's being groomed for that.
He's always taking the seconds.
Yeah, I know, Bourne.
But Mockingbird is a longtime Avengers character, hooked up with Hawkeye, and she first had this lame one-piece bathing suit with long hanging sleeves and a bow stick, and now they actually redesigned her based off of the Catwoman character. That's what I see, with a full outfit and the aviator goggles.
Okay, you know what? I know how to recognize her. She was in G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Oh yeah.
If you saw that, but. Yeah, okay. I can't wait for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now after all the movie stuff. And I hope it is so much better this year. It ended on a great note. So, yeah, definitely eagerly awaiting the return of that show.
Well, I would disagree on that because I thought that they got a little campy funny with that with the season.
I liked that. I liked it.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, you know, we're fighting Hydra, but let's crack a couple of jokes here and there. But I mean, I guess that's what you do when you have Samuel L. Jackson on stage, on set.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. We also got here the Ant-Man movie is currently filming. And this is another Marvel movie starring Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas, actually. And now there's some pictures that are surfacing of Paul Rudd in the movie. Now, he's not in the costume, but definitely pictures from the set and different things. Ampul, I know you brought this up. What are you? Any takeaways from this?
It's a little strange. I'm not very familiar with the Scott Lang character. I know that he was a down on his luck thief that was that turned to a life of crime. I believe to help his daughter that was suffering from some illness. So when you see the images of him, it looked like it's set in New York. That's my impression. And he looks
San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. Okay. I just saw the bridge.
That was the Golden Gate.
Really? Dang.
Yes. Yeah.
Horrible. I'm horrible. And
come on, Floyd.
And that picture was brought to you by Hill Street Views. Remember?
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
When you get that that homeless motif, I'm just a little like, okay, I don't know if I'm liking this, you know. I mean, but it's Marvel, so it's like, okay, until you prove me wrong, you know, you the past two movies, Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy, knocked it out of the box. So, you know, who am I to doubt Marvel? But I'm a little worried that I might get one of those bad luck, like just really overcoming the odds type film.
I'm just kind of in wait and see mode. I know a little bit about the character, probably more so from the Ultimates version of the character than I do the normal Marvel universe. But I like you. They are on a roll. They know how to make these movies. So I know this is going to be dope. It's a ways out. Obviously, is it next year or the year after? I don't know at least.
No, it's next year.
Next year. Okay.
I think next fall.
So this is going to be probably after the Avengers.
Yep.
I would imagine. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Sean, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, and according to the press release that came with that photo, that was apparently the first day of shooting. So that was like the first thing that they shot. But I know we had talked about it, releasing images and first impressions from things and how Batman vs. Superman has done that. I'm really intrigued. I like Paul Rudd. I like him as a, you know, comedic actor. Can he make the transition to light, serious fare? Probably. But that there's just something about that image that I really, really liked. I was, you know, kind of drawn into him. So I don't know anything about the character, and I probably won't do any reading up on it before I see the film. But so far, color me impressed. Good image, good actor, good look. So we'll see.
All right. So Ant-Man, definitely looking forward to that. And man, I just had like a brain freeze. Totally forgot where I was going to go. Hilarious. But we're going to keep it rolling. What else do we got here? District 9. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask about
Sin City.
Yeah.
So Sin City 2, is it a Dame to Kill For?
Dame to Kill For, yes.
So obviously based off of the book. I've only seen the first Sin City. That was way when it first came out, so I really don't remember too much about it. I was lukewarm about the movie personally. Like, I was like, yeah, it looks cool. I mean, knowing what the book looks like, and it looks like they put that on screen, so I can respect that. But I don't know, it didn't connect with me. But Sean Hill has seen the new Sin City 2, so you'll give us your thoughts.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was visually entertaining, much like the first film. I will say you will have the exact same reaction to this film as you did the first film, rather. There's a lot of Eva Green in it. And when I say a lot, you get to see a lot of Eva Green. So if that's a selling point for you, definitely go see it. It's part prequel, part sequel to the first film. So I highly recommend viewing the first Sin City before seeing this one. I would give the first film 4 stars. I would give the second film 3.5, just because the originality factor isn't there, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in it. He turns into some good work. Ray Liotta. There's a lot of people in it that weren't in the first one. Then we got a lot of returning cast members: Bruce Willis, Jessica Alba, Mickey Rourke. And it is told in the same fashion as the first film. There are 4 stories that are kind of all interlocking, and a lot of throwbacks to the first film. So. And for once, I am actually recommending the 3D. So if you want to pay for the upgrade, the 3D is actually worth it. It's good presentation. So see it. It's I highly recommend it if you like the first one.
All right. And Poo, is this a comic book movie you are looking to see?
No, it's not.
Okay, the one comic book movie I'm enthusiastic about, you guys are just poo-pooing it.
Hilarious.
I'm sorry. It's just the first one. I like the fact that it's somewhat of an anthology. Compilation of different stories. But the thing is you had to sit through 30 minutes of a bad story to get to one or two good ones. And I love Frank Miller, but a lot of that stuff was thought bubbles, and the dude is so wordy. Good.
Which story did you find the weakest?
You know what I'm talking about. It's just so wordy. The one, the Bruce one from the first film that I saw, the one with Bruce Willis where he was tracking Goldie and he was having a heart attack and he finally got Jessica Alba. And then the one where he cut off, was it Antonio Banderas? Benicio Del Toro's head, which ended up being like, that was a straight up ripoff of Edgar Allan Poe's, what is that story with the beating heart? I'm just like
the telltale heart.
Yes. I'm just like, come on, Frank, you're plagiarizing that. It has some good parts, but I'll wait till it comes on HBO.
Don't wait till it comes out. You got to see the 3D. I don't know. I like Bruce Willis. I think I've gone on record during our epic 80s. Action movie debate. I that's my man crush, Bruce Willis. Not afraid to say it. So I enjoy watching him on film. The story was probably the weakest one out of the bunch. And he returns in this one. I won't spoil it and say how. But so I was of course glad to see him in that one too. But
I tell you how. They cut the check.
Well. They offered him a better deal than for the Expendables 3.
All right, so Sin City 2.
One to two on this one. I'm the lone dissenting.
Well, I'm gonna see it. I'll check it out. It just better be good now.
To quote
again, you will have the same reaction to this one as you did the first one. Right.
To quote Hill Street Views, I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach.
This is how good it was visually. I didn't even take any notes because I didn't want to look away from the screen because I might miss something, you know. So I had written down, you know, Sin City, A Day to Die For. That's the only thing I have written on my notepad from seeing that movie because I just could not take my eyes off the screen. So if that means anything.
The Transformers look good to look at, too.
But I could take my eyes off that screen. I wrote plenty of notes for that one.
All right. Changing up just a little bit, and then we'll get out of here. So this weekend, specifically tomorrow, when you hear that, well, tomorrow will be the 24th. It is the day of the MTV VMAs, Video Music Awards.
Which, that still comes on?
Yeah, it's still on. You know, I remember when the very first one, I think it was in 84, with Madonna, Like a Virgin, I think she did.
Yep.
And that was like, woof. But so this show has been going on for a long time. Let's see, what do they got going on? They are saying that Beyonce will be performing, and apparently she's going to do like a 15-minute performance where she's going to perform each song off of her new album. I don't know if it's probably, I guess, snippets or a melody or something. But it's supposed to be some big, you know, big performance of that. The Anaconda girl, Nicki Minaj, apparently in the rehearsals, they must have an anaconda or some sort of snake on stage and has attacked somebody. So that's
Lord
already crazy.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm very serious. It's on the news now.
Oh wow,
my anaconda.
Didn't Timberlake do that last year? Like he did that big 15, you know, with NSYNC, and then he did like snippets of all of his hits. Wasn't that the VMAs last year?
Yep. Yes, it was.
Yeah, I kind of remember hearing about this. They're billing this as something never been done, so I don't know if it's the same thing.
Well, it's been done.
He did every song off the record?
No. He did, like, he had the NSYNC reunion, and then he did, like, snippets of his hits. I mean, like, all of his hits. Like,
yeah, apparently
Rock Your Body and all that stuff.
I got you. I guess this is supposedly she's going to just take whatever her new album she has right now and do a little bit of each song. So that
would
be a little different. So, yeah, you know, I don't normally watch the show, but I do watch the highlights on online. So I'll check performances out. Who else they got performing is Usher, Taylor Swift, I don't even know who this person is, Anaria Randy.
Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is. Nicki Minaj, Sam Smith, who I don't know. I when I hear the word Sam Smith, for some reason I'm thinking of Star Search, but Iggy Azalea, 5 Seconds of Summer, and Maroon 5. So there you go.
It's funny. I read, I think it might have been a Rolling Stones article, and they were talking about the Miley Cyrus performance 1 year later, and how and how great her career has taken off despite that horrible performance that everybody was clowning her about, and how Robin Thicke has just went into the toilet professionally and his personal life. And I'm just like, right. Wow, mm-hmm. Who would have thought a year later whose career would be worse?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, Robin Thicke, man, he has some good, cool songs. I'm not gonna front, but he's sort of somebody I would see come and go. I don't see any longevity with that. There'll be the next somebody. Yeah, he was go ahead.
I was gonna say I downloaded Paula the tribute album or whatever, Simple. And it's horrible. Mm-hmm. It is horrible. And I'm like, dude, if you're trying to win your woman back with this album, here you go back to the lab, bruh, because these songs are...
Should have had Keith Sweat produce it for him. Might have...
Yeah.
Some begging.
or, I mean, you want to, the best, breakup divorce album of all time is Marvin Gaye's Here, My Dear. I mean, that's the blueprint of that kind of record, and... Sorry, Thicke, but yeah.
Who'd Marvin break up with?
That was Anna Gordy. If you don't mind, I'll give you the story on that. He was basically broke, and so when they were getting divorced, of course she wanted money, and so the next album he made a deal. The next album that he recorded, the proceeds would basically go to her. So he really didn't have any kind of creative juices flowing, and every song that he was coming up with was all, angry and, talking about her or whatever. So he decided, well, if I gotta give her all the money to the album, why not make the album about her? So just about, I would say about 80-90% of the songs are all about their marriage, their breakup, their relationship, their divorce. And if you have not heard it, I would put that to the very, very top of your must listen list.
I guess
that's your Captain America, gotta listen to the list. See, I told you, I got a little geek in me. Put that on the list. That one.
What's the name of the title of this album?
Here, My Dear.
Yeah, it is a classic.
Man, that's just like straight up fuckery right there. Here, My Dear.
Oh, and some of the titles, when did I stop loving you? When did you stop loving me? You can leave, but it's going to cost you. Anger. I met a little girl. Yeah. I mean, every song there. And it's so crazy because the way he fashioned the album, it isn't a traditional, verse, chorus, bridge, outro. One song, he's just like, I call it a stream of consciousness song. He's just singing, just talking about his life with her, and it's like a 6-7 minute song. And there's no chorus, there's no bridge, it's just lyrics. And he is just pouring his heart out. It's an awesome album. So definitely check it out.
All right. Last little bit here is no, it's not considered geeked out. We'll leave it out. We'll talk about it on the next show. So with that, we're going to wrap this up because we're actually going to record another show after this. So as you know, we're putting it in the work, working like a job. Before we go, you need to be able to know where you can find everybody. So Aunt Pooh, where can they find you?
You can see me on Instagram and listen to some of my dumb tweets on Twitter at @Pooh. I'll have a new article up tomorrow at 411 Mania, the top 8 babyface turns in comic books, which is when the bad guys go good. And I'll have a new wrestling column up on Tuesday at knockoutnation.com.
All right, Mr. Sean Hill.
All right, you can find me on Twitter, Hill Street Views, Facebook under Sean Hill, and also Real Movie Talk. And, of course, the blog, hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. We'll be taking a little sabbatical from screenings. There aren't anything that's worth seeing coming out. But early September, I will have up my list of the best and worst films of the year thus far. And Tyler Perry may actually not appear on the list. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, all right. And my name is Michael Dean. You can find me on podcastjuice.net. Also on Twitter is M. Dean. And on Facebook, look up Podcast Juice. Also, we invite you to join Podcast Juice All Access. $5 a month. It's a great way to support the site. You also get access to a lot of archival podcasts we've done over the last 9 years. So there you go. With that, we say work it like a job. Peace.